Lord, we love you and praise you. We thank you for all things. I thank you for this time. I pray that you would God, be with us this morning. I pray that your spirit would fall on this place. We lift up each box that is here and each box that will be brought in and gathered all over our nation and sent around the world, that God, that those gifts would go as a tremendous blessing to children and families around the world. I pray that the gospel would be shared clearly, and that such that a child can understand and receive. And I pray there'd be a great harvest of salvation as a result of so many faithfully giving to this work and to this ministry. And Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do in and through these. I pray, God, that you would work in a way this morning that only you be glorified for. I pray we would worship you in spirit and in truth. And thank you for your love and affection toward us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand with us as we sing two great hymns about the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when we all get to heaven and when the roll is called up yonder?
Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim's pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder. Up yonder I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of His resurrection share, when His chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the
truth this morning that when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when it comes to that point, our names will be called. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to fixing my gaze on the face of Jesus. Let's continue to sing out praise this morning as we sing, "Oh, Praise the Name."
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and he died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed, my heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. The third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
Let's praise his name this morning. Oh,
Amen. We are continuing our series on the King's Witness, and we are focusing this morning on the return, that He is coming back again, and that is where we are focusing our attention and talking about this morning. And we've been walking through this series, King's Witness. So by way of reminder, let me help you understand how we've gotten to where we are. We are walking through these symbols that we have, these bracelets. Again, there are some at the back of the room here that you're more than welcome to grab one, and certainly encourage you to wear it and look for opportunities to be able to use this. We're going to put some more information out. We'll have it available now that we're concluding, kind of put out there just some real simple statements that honestly you may even want to memorize, and we'll put some verses with it, just really simple way of how to talk to somebody about their faith. And so the arrow, first arrow down, is that He came. Jesus came. He lived a sinless, perfect life for you and me. And He was God come in the flesh. And so then the cross, He died. Jesus died on the cross. He took your sin and He took my sin, bearing the punishment that you and I deserved. And then the symbol in the middle is supposed to be an empty tomb, that Jesus rose from the grave to conquer death, hell, and the grave, to provide salvation. Then He ascended, the arrow pointing up. He ascended back into heaven, offered Himself as a sacrifice. He lives to intercede for us. He is the high priest making intercession. And then, finally, He is coming again. And that's what we are focusing on this morning. So, five simple symbols that we can use to talk to somebody about what Jesus has done and how that we can respond, how we can share the gospel and talk to people about their faith, about our faith, and what God has done in and through our lives. And so if you have your Bible, I hope that you do, will you turn to the book of Luke, chapter 21. The book of Luke, chapter 21. Now, I want to preach to you on He is coming back again. And the Gospel of Luke is one of my favorite Gospels, and it Luke is a physician, and so he writes a lot of details. And so his is a very long version of the Gospel, and he just puts a lot of details and different things there. And so we're going to look at Luke chapter 21, and we're going to begin in verse 25, and we're going to read to the end of the chapter. It'll be a little bit of a longer section of reading here, but Luke chapter 21, beginning in verse 25, if you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? Verse 25, "And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. They will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Then He spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, and you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near, so you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, with drunkenness, with cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Watch therefore, and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime He was teaching in the temple, but at night He went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet. Then early in the morning all the people came to Him in the temple to hear Him." Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we thank You for Your Word. We believe and trust it this morning. I pray, God, You would speak to us. God, You would work and move and be glorified in this time. I pray You give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. God, give me grace to to die to self, hide me behind your cross, and fill me with your Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And so this morning, as we talk about He's coming, and we've got a text here that we want to walk through, and I want to highlight a few truths as it relates to the return of Christ. And so I'll talk about some different things, and I realize I'll try to make clear what I believe is very clear in Scripture. And then there are lots of different opinions and ideas about timing, and I'm not going to get too much into that, but I'll share with you some thoughts as it relates to the text here. But if you're following along, if you're taking notes this morning, the main idea is this, is that God desires for everyone to be ready for the return of Christ. God wants every single person in this room, every single person online, everyone in the River Valley, the state, the nation, the world, to be ready for the return of Christ. And we'll talk this morning, how can you be ready for that return? And so the question of the text is this: are you living every day like Jesus is coming back soon? Now, this is what makes life difficult. This is what is hard sometimes, because we many of us would probably say, yes, we know, we believe that Jesus is coming back. We believe there's a plan that He will physically, bodily return here on earth to receive those who are His. But as we go about our everyday life, the question is, do we live with that sort of mindset? Do we live with any sort of urgency about our life? Is there any purpose other than just what we can see and hear and now, we're trying to get to point A or point B? But are we living our everyday life? Did you show up this morning? Did you wake up this morning thinking, Jesus may return today, let me live my life as if He's going to return? And it's hard, because one of the things I think we can be clear on, we don't know when that's going to be. We don't know if it's going to be today, and we don't know if it's going to be before I finish preaching. We don't know that it may never happen in any of our lifetimes sitting in this room. But dear friends, I want to share with you some truth this morning. And first of all, Jesus is coming back. That's a definite reality. And will we be ready? And for those of us that are ready, are we living like we really believe Jesus could return and will return? And so let me share three truths with you. Number one, we see in the text this: there is a return worth looking for. There is a return that is worth looking for. Look at verse 25. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear, and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Notice he is using some description here. He's giving some descriptors of what it's going to be like. The scripture uses another phrase, talk about the birth pains, those early indications of what it will be like. For then, notice this in verse 27, then, so after you see this, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, look, because your redemption draws near. Dear friend, what the text is saying here, Jesus is, if you back up earlier in the chapter, some of His disciples and religious leaders that were coming to the temple to hear Him teach, they're asking, hey, He's been teaching about the return of the Son of Man, the return of Jesus. He's been talking about His own return, and they're asking Him, hey, give us some signs. Give us some ideas of what this will be like, or what's going to happen. We want to know some signs. And so Jesus has been answering this question for several verses. One of the things he says, look, there's going to be some things happen, but the reality is that Noah in his day, there were signs for the people that they didn't listen to. Jonah in his day, there were signs for him to pay attention and listen to, and he didn't listen to it. And what he's telling the people is like, look, there will be signs, but here's the reality, you're not going to listen to it. You're not going to heed it. You're not going to take the warning. And so, folks, there is a return worth looking for, because he says, man, some of these things are going to happen. The earth, there's going to be perplexity. We know there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and there's going to be men's heart failing from fear and just all this struggle and depression and anger and all sorts of things. Our world is going to be in a turmoil. Hello? Exhibit A. Now let me hit pause and say, I have no idea. I know I poke and needle and make fun of. People have their charts, and man, they've got their 72 books on the book of Revelation, and they've got a timeline, and they've got a blog, and man, they're putting out there, and they've got all these details of date, time, place, when Jesus is going to return. And it makes me laugh, because I'm like, if you'll just put your Revelation books away and read the Bible, you'll be pretty clear. Jesus said, I don't even know when I'll return. That the Father knows. But when the Father says it's time to go, it'll happen. And how all that works, because Jesus is fully God, and in God the Father, I'm not smart enough to figure out. But folks, I'm just telling you that, man, nobody knows the day, time, and hour. But this is what I'm fully convinced of, that there has been enough happen. There is enough going on in our world that I think that there's enough prophecy that has been fulfilled that Jesus could come back any minute. Now, understand this. Every generation of Christians has always believed, there's been some group at least, always believed that Jesus is going to come back during their lifetime. There are probably some in this room that really believe Jesus is going to come back during their lifetime. And it very well could happen. We don't know the timing. But I'll be honest, folks, it's hard not to look around. I'm not just talking about in our nation. It's hard not to look around the landscape of our world and go, this seems to fit the bill. And so he gives these warning signs. He gives this. And he gives us an idea. It says, then the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory is what he says in verse 27. But does this remind you of anything? Because if you were to flip over to the book of Acts and verse 11, you remember this scene we tried to paint last week. The disciples are there. Jesus gives his last words. And then Jesus is taken. He ascends into heaven. And notice what he says, and also who said, men of Galilee, why do you stand? These are the angels. Why do you stand gazing up in heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come, will so come in like manner as you saw him going to heaven. Remember, the disciples are there. Jesus goes. They're staring up. They're looking at one another, looking up, looking at one another. The angel slip up on them and going, hey, bud, what you doing? And they're watching. They're trying to figure out what has just taken place. And the angel's saying, look, why are you standing here gazing into heaven? Which, by the way, indicates they should have been busy doing something else. And we'll get to that in a moment. But here they are, they're staring up. And what the angels said, from the immediate time of his ascension, the angels come and say, look, same way you saw him go, he's going to come. Dear friends, there is a return that is worth looking for. The Bible reminds this, tells us of who this return is. Revelation chapter 1 verse 7 says, behold, he is coming with clouds, talking about Jesus, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. There are cults out there that try to say that Jesus returned in the 70s, Jesus returned in the 80s, and he returned to Desert Spot, and all kinds of things. People put their timeline out and all this sort of thing, which makes me laugh, because I'm like, have you not read the Bible? Because they try to base it on Scripture. But the reality is look, Revelation says that it will be a worldwide event. It will not be missed. That everybody all over the face of the earth will realize the instantaneous moment that Jesus returns. Now listen, I don't know if it's like you see in the movies or read in the books, if those of us that are believers will be driving a car or in a plane or whatever it is, and suddenly they're vacant. I'm not convinced that the lost world will not have any idea what's going on, because it will be a worldwide event when Jesus returns. And then we get a little bit more detailed picture of this in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. John says this, "Now I saw," he's having this vision, "I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on him called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes wars. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on his white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that he will strike the nations, and he himself rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Listen, dear friends, Jesus is not some pretty nice picture that you see hanging on a wall. Looks like he's from Southern California with long flowing locks and blue eyes, and he is on the front of GQ. That is not the God that we serve. That is not the Jesus of the Bible. This is a man's man. He is God come in the flesh. And when he returns, he will return not as a suffering Messiah, but as a conquering king. He will return with authority. He will return as the creator that he is, sovereign Lord, and it will say Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Friends, there is a return that is worth looking for. He's coming. Are you ready? And if you are you living like he is coming? And so, number two, there is a word worth trusting. So there's a return we're watching for, we're looking for, and it's worth it. But there's also a word that we need to listen to, we need to trust. Look at verse 29. "Then he spoke to them a parable." Listen, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, okay? Earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so he gives them this illustration, if you will. He said, "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are ready, budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near." Now hit pause. You and I are spoiled with apps, right? And all these forecasts, all these things that we see, we know when it may... You know, I have the forecast and an idea of the calendar and time of year, all this sort of thing, and we've got a pretty good idea when all the seasons and all those sorts of things happen and take place. But in their day, of course, they had different things to gauge this and watch this in calendars and all that kind of thing. But nonetheless, what they did is, man, they saw that, you know this, you see this in the spring, early spring, that these trees, everything's losing its leaves right now, but at some point you'll begin to see the little buds pop out on the trees, and you realize as the weather's warming up that the summer's not far behind. And so notice this continued illustration. Verse 31, "So you also, when you see these things happen, know that the kingdom of God is near." What is he talking about? The budding of the trees? No. He's talking about these signs that he had just just referenced. Men's hearts failing and perplexities and all the things that are happening on the earth. He said, "You'll know that the kingdom of God is near." Verse 32. "Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Okay, so let's hit pause for a moment. Let's look again at verse 32. "Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place." So what is he talking about? What generation? Because if he's talking to the religious leaders of that day, then Jesus is wrong. And his word is not true. Because if he's talking to the religious leaders of that day, specifically, and that's what he's applying it to, then seemingly he missed it here. Because that generation is long gone. But what is he saying? Here's the picture of what he's saying. Think about the illustration. He's saying when these things take place, when all of those end time or those nearing the end events begin to take place, what's he saying? Once those start, that then that generation will not pass away. So this is why I'm careful, because I don't know. I mean, as I look around, it seems like all that we're seeing pretty much seems to fit the bill. But it may get worse. It may be worse than you and I even expected. Let's be honest. 10 years ago, there would be some in this room go, man, I don't know how I can get any worse. Ha! 2019 showed up and go, man, I don't know how I can get worse. 2020 said, watch this, bub. We go, man, how can it get any worse? Careful. But dear friends, it's likely that things may continue to get worse. And what Jesus is saying is once those signs are set in order, I believe what he is saying is that generation will then see the return of Christ. What's the idea? It's not going to drag out for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. But I need you to catch this, okay? Look at verse 33. Here's the driving point that we got to settle on. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, mark or underline, my words will by no means pass away. Dear friend, there's not a whole lot you can trust in this world. There's not a whole lot that you can bank on to know for sure. But let me make very clear. You can trust the Word of God. It has always been and always will be true. There's no other book in human history that has gone under the scrutiny that the Bible has. And it has stood up against the test of time. We look to these old books and these different books that man, nobody questions the Odyssey and all these different types of books that are older and that have a handful of manuscripts. Yet the Word of God, that we have thousands of manuscripts, thousands of evidence of the truth of the Word of God that has stood the test of time. Dear friend, let me encourage you. Let me just provoke you to listen, to hear, to understand, to read, to study, to memorize the Word of God. It is true. It will always be true. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of our God stands forever. Luke 16 verse 17, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. That is the smallest stroke in the Hebrew language. And it's the equivalent of our period or our comma. And what he says, man, not even that will fail away. It won't fail, won't be wrong, it won't go away. Psalm 119, 99, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Listen, this is so true that there are three books open in heaven. The book of life, the book of works, and the Word of God is there. Dear friends, if we are going to live a life worthy of the call of Jesus, worthy of salvation, if you're going to live a life that, first of all, is ready for the return of Christ, you better listen to what the Word of God says. And if you're going to live a life with urgency, expectantly, man, a life that matters, you better base your life on what the Word of God teaches. It's not outdated. It's not for another generation. But dear friend, we better build our life on the Word of God. And church, while I'm here, let me say this. We better build our church on the Word of God. If God's going to use us, if God's going to use us to make a difference, what we do and how we do it better be founded in Scripture. Better be based in the Word of God. Dear friend, there's a word worth trusting. And let me just encourage you a few things, okay? Every day of your life, get in the Word of God. Every single day. You as a Christian not getting into the Word of God is the equivalent of a baby getting up and not being fed. And the reality is that some of us live on a meal once a week. And it's insufficient. It's not enough. Man, good gracious, there's so much technology out there. There's so many things. Now listen, my encouragement to you is go buy you a Bible, get you a plan, open up the Word of God, read the Word of God every day. But if you struggle with that, there's so many things out there. There's Bible apps. There's Bible apps you can set a reminder on to remind you to read every day. If you can't get in the Word of God today, it's not because it's not available to you. It's just because you don't want to. That's hard to hear. Because you and I have the same amount of time in our day as the rest of us do. I've done a study, and an average reader can read 15 minutes a day, and in 1 year, you'll read through the entire Bible. 15 minutes a day. You realize that is 1/96th of your day? Oh, friends. No wonder people chase all kinds of heresy out there. No wonder we subscribe to all kinds of garbage out there, because we're not getting into the Word of God. We're not studying the Word of God. We're not reading the Word of God. We're not studying the Word of God together. We're not sitting under godly biblical preaching sometimes of the Scripture. There's a word worth trusting. And then number three, there's a life worth watching. So we're looking for the return. We're trusting the Word of God. But then there's a life that we need to watch out. Verse 34. He says, but take heed. Mark or underline, take heed. To yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, with drunkenness, with the cares of this life. And that day, circle that day. What's he talking about? The return. Come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch. There's your warning. Watch. There's your activity. Watch and pray. So watch and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. So he gives you a warning. Saying, here's the signs, Jesus is coming back, the Son of Man is coming back. Don't grow weary, because the Word of God is true, and I've said it. Jesus has made it clear, He's coming back. And then He finishes with this, He says, look, take heed to yourself, guard yourself, listen to me. He beats the pulpit and says, hey, tune in, listen to what I'm saying, be really careful. Remember, these religious leaders are gathering in day after day, and they're going to be the ones that lead in His crucifixion. And He's saying, look, religious leaders, look, man, you professionals, don't miss this. You need to watch out. You need to take heed. You need to guard yourself. Because you need to be ready. You need to be ready spiritually as one of His own children. And then if you are one of His children and living the life for Jesus, then you need to be living it daily with a sense of urgency. First Thessalonians tells us this, 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 through 8. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. That means to be vigilant, to be looking out. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, be vigilant, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So you may say, Pastor, how do I make sure I'm ready? The first and foremost step is exactly what we've been talking about the last 5 weeks, is trusting, repenting, and placing your faith and trust in Jesus. Dear friend, there better have come a time in your life where you understand that before God, you are a sinner. The Bible says all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, Romans 3:10, as it is written, there are none righteous, no, not one. There's not a single one of us in here that could earn favor with God, earn our salvation. If you could earn it, Jesus didn't have to come. But because you couldn't earn it, God sent His Son who lived a sinless, perfect life because you and I couldn't. He went to the cross. He took your sin to die on that cross to take your punishment. They buried Him in a borrowed grave, and on the third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and He's coming back again. But in the meantime, He is there offering salvation. Even to some of you this morning that He's tugging on your heart, that conviction, that mulling in your heart every time you get to the invitation, every time that you hear somebody talk about this, that conviction that's in your heart, it's the Spirit of God beating on your heart's door going, look, won't you listen? And won't you repent? Won't you be saved? And some of you this morning, you need to be saved. You need to ask God, God, forgive me of my sin. I turn from my sin, whatever it is. You turn toward God. You place your faith and trust in Him. Say, God, I want You to be boss. I want You to be master of my life. You surrender everything to Him. That's how you make sure you're ready. And then we live life with a sense of urgency that we don't have a day to waste. We don't have an opportunity to waste. I wonder this morning, let me ask you a series of questions. If you knew Jesus was coming back 5 years from today, what would you do? How would you respond? What would you do? I'd imagine 5 years away, there may be not a lot of change in some of our lives. Maybe so. Maybe we begin to try to knock some things off the bucket list and make a few more visits. But what if it was a year from now, 1 year from now, you have 365 days before Jesus comes back, what would you do? Well, now I'm going to get really serious about knocking a few things off the bucket list, and I'm going to build some relationships and maybe spend less time wasting it on a few things. I wonder if it was 6 months away, maybe 180 days from today, what would you do? Again, the bucket list, maybe in 6 months I can't do all of those things and I'll reduce some of the time that I waste. What if it's 3 months? What if in 1 month from today, Jesus is returning? Not a lot of time to do very many bucket list items. And now the 401k and the retirement plan, all those kinds of things, man, they go to the back burner because that's not really going to matter much. Wonder what phone calls or visits you might make. What if it was 1 week from today? 1 week, next Sunday, 11:30 a.m., Jesus is going to return. Bucket list probably out the window. Who would you call? Who would you plead with to tell them that they need to be ready, that Jesus is coming back? I wonder if it was this time tomorrow, one day, 24 hours, what would you do? Man, immediately I can see across the room that there's some names that popped up on your mind. Go, man, they don't know. They're not ready. I wonder if it was going to happen in an hour. Suddenly, the list got a lot shorter. There's only so many, maybe just one or two. You can't even fly. You can't make time to drive and go see people. I wonder if 1 minute from now, what would happen if you knew Jesus is coming back? How would you live your life differently? Dear friend, I wonder in 10 seconds, if Jesus was coming back, would you be ready? 8, 7, 6. Jesus is coming back. If Jesus came back right now, would you be ready? What Jesus says here is that religious leaders, the professional religious leaders, don't be so distracted by the cares of this world that one day you'll have your head down, plodding along, just putting one foot in front of another. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, unexpectedly, Jesus will return. And your hand will be in the proverbial cookie jar, living your life like the world. Two questions. Number one, are you ready? Have you repented of your sins and placed your faith and trust in Christ? And number two, are you living your life like Jesus really could come back today? The old saying is this, is that we need to live like Jesus was crucified last night, risen this morning, and coming tonight. Folks, He's coming back again. And I don't know if it'll happen in my lifetime or if it'll happen in your lifetime. But this is what I know. Is that one day, either Jesus will return in my lifetime or I'll draw my last breath. And dear friend, I want to try to use every breath I have to serve Him. To fulfill the mission and purpose in which God has placed me on this earth. We don't have any time to waste. We don't have any opportunities that we can afford to waste. God has placed people in and around your life. Either one, to help you see your need for salvation, or for those of you that have been saved, He's put people in and around your life that you can make an impact on. You can tell them what Jesus has done. You can help them to understand they too need to be ready. You can invite them to church. You can invite them and have conversations with them. I realized this morning it's a strong word. But dear friend, neither one of us, not a person in here, knows when we'll draw our last breath. And I hope and pray that before you leave here this morning, number one, you're ready. And number two, that you'll commit before the Lord, if you are ready, God, help me to live with a sense of urgency that Jesus is really coming back. Let me just say, pause. We live with that sense of urgency. With that in mind, do you realize some of the trivial problems that keep us up at night, some of the things that wake us up early, some of the things that our stomach gets all in a knot about will suddenly go away? When we live in light of eternity, we live for that day. Let's pray. God in heaven, I thank You for Your love and affection. I thank You for Your Word, the truth of Your Word. And God, I pray this morning that we would be careful to make sure that we are ready by Your grace and by Your mercy, ready to be saved. That we've trusted Christ. And God, I pray if anybody here this morning that You are drawing them, God, You are speaking to them, then God, I pray that even in this moment, God, You would give them grace, God, right now to call out on You, to repent, be saved. And if that's you this morning, you can pray something like this. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart, wash away my sins. Be the boss of my life. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for saving me. If you prayed that and meant it with all your heart, the Bible says God comes in and He saves us. My hope's prayer is this morning that you, if you weren't ready, you're ready now because you've just repented. You placed your faith and trust in Christ. I believe that's the most important decision you'll ever make. And I believe it is crucial for you to share that with somebody. We're not going to have necessarily an open time of response this morning like we do sometimes, but here's what I want to challenge you. Find me, find Pastor Jonathan after the service. Hey, I prayed that this morning. Send me an email. Respond somehow. Get online. Go to one of our I'm New and say, hey, I prayed to receive Christ today. We want to be encouragement to you. We want to come alongside you and help you in that decision. For those of you that, and you say, I know that I know, I'd be ready if Jesus came back today. You say, I hadn't been living with any kind of urgency. That He really could come back. You just spend a moment before the Lord. Say, God, help me. God, help me to live with urgency. Maybe there's some things in your life that are hindering you. Lay those down before the Lord. Name them. And if it's sin, it's sin. Call it sin before the Lord. Maybe you've been distracted by all kinds of unnecessary things. Lay those things down and say, God, forgive me, help me not to be distracted by the cares of this world. Lord God in heaven, I thank you for your loving kindness and the truth of your word. And I pray, God, that we'd leave this place and every person, online or in person, as we conclude in a few moments, that God, number one, they'd be ready. Number two, there'd be a renewed commitment that, God, we are going to live with a sense of urgency because you are coming back again. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated for just a moment. We are going to dismiss in just a moment. Let me just remind you, for those of you that are members of the church, we do have a family business meeting tonight beginning at 5 o'clock. There's no pray and go. There's no going out this afternoon. So 5 o'clock, we will begin that. So I hope that you'll make plans to be here. There's some business items that we do need to take care of. If you are a guest this morning, I'd love to meet you. I'll step outside, just the front door's there, and would love to meet you and just see if there's any way we can serve you and look forward to that. Please, if you made a decision to follow Christ, let me, let Pastor Jonathan, one of us know, send us an email, connect with us online, and we'd love to hear from you. If you want to get on Facebook, you can send our church Facebook page a message. You're certainly welcome to do that. And then as we conclude, we are going to continue our time of worship through our giving. And so due to COVID, we are keeping the guideline, and we're not going to pass an offering plate. There are offering plates on the way out. I hope that you never feel pressured or anything like that into giving. It's just a way for us to be able to do it in a safe way, we feel like. And so, but you are welcome to give. You can give through an envelope or there at the plate. You can mail that in. We have people sometimes bring it by the office. Also, you can give online, and there's multiple different ways in which you can do that online. And so I'd encourage you to check that out if that fits you. This morning, I want to read to you a verse out of Malachi. It says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Try me now in this, says the Lord, if I will not open up for you the heavens, the windows of heavens, and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." Here's what I want to leave you with, is you can't outgive God, okay? And your regular tithes and your offerings, I want to encourage you, be faithful in that. And the Lord blesses that, the Lord uses that, and I'm not promising that you give this and you'll get this in return by any means. The Lord doesn't promise that. But I believe He does in this message to Malachi. He says, "Hey, try me in this. Bring your tithes, bring your offerings, and I will open up the windows of heaven, pour out blessing on you." And I just a firm believer, you can't outgive God. So I want to encourage you in that this morning. We're going to pray and ask God's blessing on the offering and pray that God blesses you throughout the week. Thank you for joining, being part of our worship this morning, and really grateful for you. Let me pray. God, you are gracious and kind and merciful. I thank you for today. I thank you for all that you are and all that you do. I thank you for each one that came today or joined us online. I pray you bless them. I pray that we'd be faithful in our giving, that you would use that to glorify yourself. And just thank you so much for how you bless us. And God, we're just giving back what you've first given us. And I pray you would be with us. We'll go throughout the week. Help us to live like we're ready and live with a sense of urgency. And God, I pray that you would just put a hedge of protection around us to go and pray we glorify you in all that we say and do this week. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.